This year, Czechia is marking the 20th anniversary of its accession to the European Union. When it joined the club, some people in this country were concerned about whether the Czech voice would be heard in the competition of so many other countries, including, of course, the heavyweights. With 20 years on, I think we can say that in a number of cases, the Czechs have even been the driving force behind changes affecting the whole of Europe. In this instalment of our five-part series, Czechs in the European Union, we will highlight some of the most notable changes that Czechs spearheaded. And for that, I'm joined in the studio by Viktor Daněk, Deputy Director of the Europeum Institute for European Policy. Welcome, Viktor.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Viktor, let's go back to 2017 when roaming charges ended in the European Union. That was a big day. We now all pay the same for calls, texts and data around the EU as we do at home. And this is one of the best known examples where the Union succeeded in removing one of the barriers on the common market. But I think few people today actually remember that the Czechs made a major contribution to this change, didn't they?
Yes, they were. There were actually two of them. Hranzová and Pavel Telička, MEPs that were elected on the list of the ANO movement, and it was actually one of their main topics or promises in the elections in 2014, where when they actually became MEPs. But the road to abolishment of roaming charges was quite difficult. It was the MEPs who managed to pursue this, even though that the member states were against. Ending roaming charges. And Pavel Telička at that time warned that it would not be very good to compromise on this issue.
Whatever you do, whatever the EU will do on the digital market, the credibility of that will be to a certain extent, or maybe to a large extent, undermined if we go on roaming halfway. I mean, this is an issue where there is, rightly or wrongly so, where there are high expectations which were raised by, in fact, the European Union.
However, it was definitely not the Czech idea to lower prices of services of mobile operators in foreign countries. We can trace it back into 2007, where a so-called euro tariff became reality. But the prices of euro tariff were still very high and exceeded the domestic standard. Most importantly in the area of the prices of data, and that is why there were another attempts to fully abolish roaming charges, which were eventually successful.
It was indeed a much anticipated and greatly appreciated change around Europe. Are there any other examples of European legislation where Czech MEPs managed to win over Europe for something significant?
I can think of two examples. The best known, I think, is the so-called double quality of products. It were actually Czechs who were the first who drew attention to the problem that there are identically marked products on the market that are having different content or different quality in different member states, which was actually Věra Jourová's contribution, which were the Commissioner for Consumer Protection at that time, and also MEP Olga Sehnalová from Social Democrats, Czech Social Democrats. And those two women managed to convince all the others, basically, in Brussels that it is indeed a problem that needs to be solved. And eventually, Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commission President in 2017, in his speech of the State of the Union speech in European Parliament, promised to fix the problem.
In einer Union der gleich kann es auch keine Verbraucher zweiter Klasse geben. Ich kann nicht akzeptieren.
In a union of equals, there can be no second-class consumers. I cannot accept that people in some parts of Europe, primarily in Central and Eastern Europe, are sold food of poorer quality than in others, even though the packaging and brand labeling are identical. Slovaks do not deserve less fish in fish sticks, Hungarians do not deserve less meat in meat dishes, or Czechs less cocoa in chocolate. EU law already prohibits such practices, and now we need to give the national authorities more extensive powers so that they can take action against these, yes, illegal practices across the board.
So that these flächendeckend gegen diese ja illegalen Praktiken vorgehen können.
And he managed. Now it is illegal in European Union to market products with identical marking and different quality in European Union, of course, with some exceptions. And it is a paradox, I would say, that in Czechia the change didn't receive any praise at all. It was, on the other hand, heavily criticized exactly for these exceptions that were seen in that time as a way how to actually escape from the European legislation.
That was indeed a hot topic of debate for a very long time in this part of Europe. Any other significant change that we contributed to?
The other one is also a product of the YANO movement. More specifically, it is a idea of Andrej Babiš, at that time the Minister of Finance of Czechia. His huge topic was fight against tax fraud. And he managed to create something that was called a reverse charge, which is a, let's say, different way how to pay VAT that would lower an area for tax evasion in EU countries. Czechia was very tough in its negotiation tactics. It even abused, let's say, unanimity vote. But it was successful eventually and managed to actually create this possibility to activate reverse charge in European countries. But I can say that there is a paradox that when Andrej Babiš left office and became prime minister, his successor Alena Schillerová as Minister of Finance decided never to use actually reverse charge in practice, so it remained just on paper.
That's looking back, but Czechs have also left their mark on a number of recently approved laws. To what extent is this related to the Czech presidency?
Well, it is well known that a country that holds presidency can't put any favors into itself. It should negotiate it always impartially. However, we can obviously see or trace back some priorities of Czechia that actually then were put in practice in legislation that was negotiated by Czechia. For example, in the area of high prices of energy, where Czechia negotiated some quick fix packages. Also in area of climate legislation, for example, in the so-called ban of combustion engines, where Czechia managed to legalize a possibility to use synthetic fuels, and also to make a possible revision of the rules. And I must also say that Czechia received a lot of experience that it can use and is actually using also after the presidency. We saw it in the example of emission norm Euro 7, where Czechia managed to put together a coalition of countries that wanted changes that would be less strict. And it was successful eventually. So I think that this is something Czechia can use long term, not only in time when it's holding presidency.
That's looking back at some Czech successes in the European Parliament. And my guest was Viktor Daněk, Deputy Director of the Europeum Institute for European Policy. Thank you for coming, Viktor.
Thank you very much.